roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountains Edge, Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz, on a Thursday, May 7th?
What up, dude?
Not much. I'm looking at the clock. This is the game plan. Exactly. It is 6:18 a.m. And I thought, you know what? 7's a perfect cutoff time. We got a lot to discuss. I know we kind of aim for that 30 to 35 mark. But this is fight week, baby, and I'm in a good mood, Goz, because A, it's fight week. B, we're closer to fight week without that fall off. We expected it back in April. We were just counting the seconds. We knew there would be an eventual post on Junkie or a tweet, and we'd all go, I knew it, and the plans would be scrapped. But this time I feel really good, and every day I just feel more assurances, whether it's a new embedded, whether it's a new crop of fighters on social media getting swab tested for COVID-19, or just the news conferences that have been taking place. There's just a lot of info coming our way, and I'm loving every single minute of it, and a lot of it's positive, and I'll explain all that as we unpack a lot of these subjects. How about you? How are you feeling? We only got two more sleeps before the fights.
I think we're getting there. I think today's probably the day that we would hear about a fighter if they tested positive or something not being able to fight. So I think today's the biggest hurdle. If we can clear today, then you just got weights to deal with, and then it's fight time.
Exactly. All right, folks, buckle up. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Thursday, May 7th. Lots to discuss here. Here we go. All right, folks. So let's start off with this. Our own John Morgan is in Jacksonville. He traveled about 24 hours ago to get there and cover the event. There's not much media there, but there is media there. And so he's got a nice little diary going on of his travels and just the stuff that he'll be privy to. So keep an eye on that on MMA Junkie throughout the week. There's going to be a lot of things that he can get that other sites can't get. And I'm not just talking about the other sites that are there. I'm just talking about not a lot of websites, not a lot of media were invited. And right away he went through... It's just interesting because... some of us are going to have to travel at some point, but he was saying that the planes weren't packed, so social distancing, no problem. He actually sat close to Ngannou and Nick Sick and Dewey Cooper, got a quarantine selfie with them. Everyone's wearing their mask. It's kind of funny. And then upon arrival right away, I loved hearing that the UFC is being proactive in the way that they check you in. There's a lot of hand sanitizer everywhere. You got this, like, packet of what's expected. Every day, Goz, they have to go in there and almost get a new credential. He explained all that. And then, of course, he got that big old Q-tip down his nose. One of the worst ones I've seen out of probably 20 to 30 that I've seen. Just randoms or the MMA community or whatever. I'm talking, this is up there with, like, what Johnny Knoxville would probably get. Hey, tack on a few more seconds here and really, really swirl around. I mean... he took it like a champ. Only at the very end did he say, boy, that sucked, or something like that. But he never really, you know, like moved or shrimped or any way or anything like that. But it was awful to watch.
Don't you think? I mean, that's all my Twitter feed was yesterday, was just a bunch of people getting swabbed like that. But some looked different than others. It seemed like some of them had the Q-tip in there for a little bit longer. It seemed like some of them were deeper.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Carla Sparza's was pretty brutal. That one looked like it was going to go out the back of her head. John looked like he was uncomfortable, but he took it like a champ. There's been a couple. I'm trying to remember. There was one yesterday that I felt like it was a little bit shorter, but it just seemed like that person really went in there, and that fighter or coach was like a little fighting. I remember they had to actually hold them a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So some of those are brutal, man. And with some of the things that Dana White's talking about, like bringing Contender Series back here in Vegas, who knows? We might have to do something like that. And I am not looking forward to that nose thing.
Tell me about it. First of all, what we're calling it is just a first-hand account from Jacksonville. So just keep an eye on that. I think there's going to be a lot of things that John posts that are going to be really cool and enjoyable. Because remember, he's there for 8 days. He's not traveling back. There's another show next Wednesday. So we're actually 6 days away from that one. 2 days away from UFC 249. And 9 days away from whatever's going down on the 16th. Oh, by the way, the 23rd, going down at the Apex Center in Las Vegas. But we'll touch on that in a second. So John, was saying, first of all, he had to isolate himself in his room for 24 hours. And remember, he's there, but he's still going to do virtual interviews. So being on location will have some benefits here and there, but it is really, really tight. But again, I don't want to go overboard. I did this, I think, yesterday on the Sportscaster version of our show.
You went overboard yesterday?
Well, I mean, on applauding the UFC, but every day when I find out more, they sure do. They really are going out of their way to, I think, calm everyone's fears or anxiety as how they're going to, how this is going to be tackled, how it's going to be treated. The athletes seem to be taken care of. You know, we talked about Embedded and their own saunas, their own mat space, these testings, and then they don't want to allow hotel staff and media to bleed over into the camps because the object is Saturday night. Saturday night, we need fighters that have weighed in and they match each other on the weight scale. And we want fighters that are healthy, that the last thing they need to worry about is droplets from the guy on top into the guy on the bottom. You know, I mean, blood and sweat, they've all handled that before, but this is a whole other animal. You don't want to be fighting two people, the other guy and COVID.
Yeah, whether or not the UFC wants to admit it, I mean, you have to give them props for what they're doing right now and the way they're handling it. But whether or not they want to admit it, I don't know that they would have been able to do all these things had we let them just go right off the bat with fights. I think this benefited them. I think the time, the thinking out process of how everything was going to get done, I really think they needed that. I think this was probably the best case scenario how this all went down. Now we're all on the same page. We're all cheering for these fights to get off. And the whole world is watching. The whole world is watching every moment, every process of how the UFC is making this happen. And they will follow suit if they can pull it off.
Yep. And so the next topic I want to go to, and then we'll come back to UFC 249, is the fact that Dana White said there will be fights at the UFC Apex, or at least he said he's shooting for it, but it sounds like it's, you know, it's going to happen. And here's all he'll get from me. I just want to give him a little bit, you see, Presidente, if he maybe just held back a little bit, all of this could have taken place in Nevada 2 weeks later. A month outside of the original UFC 249 in Taichi Palace, 2 weeks after the one in Jacksonville will go down. And I think even he would agree, but he's a promoter. I get it. He might just shake me off or whatever, but I think even he would agree. Yeah, I get it. I mean, all of this to be taking place in Nevada would be tremendous. You know, not having to haul everyone and everything across the country. You know, when they can do it all here. So it sounds like, following what Bob Arum said, Dana White is saying combat sports could be headed back to Nevada in about 2 weeks. The UFC Apex holds about, I think he said, anywhere from 300 to 1,500, just depending on how many seats they want to add or whatever. So that is going to be a really cool environment. I'm telling you, Contender Series, it gets loud in there, and it's really, really cool. So I can only imagine with the bells and whistles that they would do to add to a pay-per-view or a fight night. It will be awesome. So that's it. That's all I want to say. But, Goz, you said something interesting.
I always
if he
do.
Didn't try, that's true. If he didn't try to do all these other things along the way, it just wouldn't have been within his personality, you know, because he didn't know about the 23rd till probably recently, but he knew that Jacksonville was available on May 9th, and damn it, he wanted to keep it. Plus, he's got a calendar of of the 42 events he needs to throw. He's already thrown 7. He's got 35 to go. And that way he can meet, I guess, the obligations or whatever you want to call it that ESPN and them agree to on the contract
for the bonus. I have to imagine that was changed a little bit. I mean, especially when the governor came down on ESPN, I have to imagine when ESPN had to talk with Dana and said, look, we really need to shut this down. I would think Dana said, yeah, what we're trying to do is meet this demand. Mm-hmm. And then just like in every other facet of life, don't you think ESPN would have said, look, man, we understand that. So here's how we're going to fix that. We're going to extend this a little bit. Maybe, or maybe you only have to do this many. I doubt they said, yeah, you can't do your show. And guess what? Now you're really behind the gun. That doesn't make any sense, right? So I have to imagine that probably is a little bit more lax than we think it is. But this is all going to be really different. You know, you mentioned bringing back fights here, Contender Series, all that. We've always said this. Like, why not do Contender Series and then have a main event and just have a fight? Mm-hmm. You know, a regular fight, something good. Maybe not a huge fight, but something decent, you know, like a Qatar versus Stevens type fight or something as your main event, just to start getting fighters their paychecks and getting things moving along a little bit. I hope there's a little wrinkle like that to Contender Series.
I agree with the whole, and we won't turn this into a business show, but I agree with everything you said about ESPN probably not flexing and saying you don't get that bonus or whatever that's been written if you don't do this. I just think that everyone wants to close their books on the 31st of December, having done this or that or whatever. And I know Dana White says on the other side, the fighters are looking at me going, hey, you need to give me a certain amount of fights in a certain amount of time. And you know the fighters ain't going to have mercy. Hey, you know we're going through a pandemic. It's all right, you know. So I think there's just different types of pressures that need to be met. But here's what I wanted to say. I think what Dana did want to do is for sure beat all the other sports and just have a big spotlight on them. And he's going to get that for at least these three shows, maybe the 23rd at the Apex, you know, but this one's the big one. This is it's the pay-per-view.
It's a huge gamble. Right. The world is watching.
Everyone's watching. So I think that's what he bathed himself in is just that attention and being the first, you know, outside of, I guess, WrestleMania and.
Well, they just never stopped, right?
Who?
Wrestling?
I don't know.
I think they, because they just kept going, but they just didn't have crowds, I think was their thing. I mean, they're really the Cowboys.
I'm sure they had to stop a little bit, but that's all. The thing with WrestleMania is, and we'll never know, is you and I could probably say, hey, there's a high school that's got a ring, and you and I go in there and wrestle, and then just mail them the footage. And they include it in WrestleMania. It's not, it's entertainment, but it's not a live sporting event, you know. And plus, the determines out, you know, they did this whole pre-record, and you just never know, like, well, was it live, or did they come in at a certain time, and how did they piece it together? I mean, it's entertainment, and I like it, but I think under the tab sporting events, this will be the first, I guess.
What I'm interested to see.
At least that North America cares about. I'm sure there's cricket or something's taking place overseas. Oh, yeah. But.
Well, I mean, there's baseball in Japan. I was watching that the other day. Yeah. But what I'm interested to see is the whole world is watching UFC right now. If there is a positive test, I want to see how people are going to react, because I think this little cushion that the UFC's had, that they're almost forced into, I think would make people react more like, hey, they tried and it just didn't work out, versus had they done this a couple weeks ago or a month ago I think it would have been more of the feeling of, you see, you big dummy, you screwed everything up. I think it would have had more of that feeling. I think this little cushion helped them a little bit in that sense.
I agree. Yeah. All right. So, again, the plan is from the 23rd on to have some events, possibly two times a week. He says Contender Series is going to be thrown in there as well. So it's going to be a great time this summer, especially if you live in Las Vegas, and with the exception of that nasal swab. Please, somebody come up with
something. You going to do it?
Yeah, because it's not so much the nasal one that swab. Tests for the, if, to see if you've had it.
Uh-huh.
So, quick update from John Morgan. You know, I mean, he's typing his own stuff, I guess, on the site, but he told me the swab test tells you if you have it, and he gets those results today. He got the test done yesterday.
So then what does the finger prick do?
He says they also did a quick blood test, which tells you if you have antibodies, meaning you had it.
Okay, I don't like that right now, I could tell you, because what that means is if you cover Contender Series, let's say this week, then you get the nose and you get the finger prick. But when you come back the next week, I think you get the nose again, right? Wouldn't you have wanted it the other way around? I thought it was the other way around, where the nose is the one that tells
you whether
you
have. That's what I thought,
too. So that means he's going to get a nasal swab. I mean, unless they trust his isolation while he's there, I would imagine that means next card, another nasal swab. That is going to suck.
Yeah, he says it's undescribable what it is. He says there's just nothing I can say in terms of like, hey, have you ever jammed your finger in your ear? Or hey, have you ever, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He says he couldn't describe what it was, but he did say he tested negative for the antibodies.
Oh, that's big.
But he says it doesn't necessarily mean he never had it. It's just that he doesn't have the antibodies right now.
I mean, what the hell does that mean?
I don't know. But remember, we were in a way thinking, well, if John got it, for sure we got it.
Yeah.
And
John Morgan went to, I think, South Korea or something like that. He went
to Japan for one of the end of the year cards.
Uh-huh.
But there was a lot of travel from different fighters everywhere. So that would have been one of the strongest connections. Other than, I know there's a big Chinese presence at the...
At the what?
At the UFC PI.
Uh-huh.
And so since he's in there a lot, maybe something could happen there. But that cold he described and combined with kind of how I felt...
And Kenny. And Kenny got it too.
Kenny got it too. And then you obviously live with me. We just were like, hey, man, what if we got it this whole time? And if it's true that you can't get it again, although there's reports that you can, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That sure would make us feel a lot better in a way. For one, I survived COVID-19. But two, I hopefully can't get it again. You know, I don't know. But yeah, I'll touch base with him a little bit more and we'll see if we can have more to reveal. And I'm sure he'll do it again on that little series, but that's what he was telling me there. But yeah, I was hoping that the nose swab was the one you do one time. Nope, yeah. You never had it. Okay, cool. Now, the finger prick, just let me know every week or every day that I got to do this, much like, I guess, like a diabetic. Do I got it now? Do I got it now? Do I got it now? You know, that type of thing.
Do you, if you go in and you do the nose swab, and let's just say they go through the right nostril, the next time do you go do the left, or are you just happy you survived on the right, do the right again?
Because
there's a little piece that you're praying, maybe it's not so bad on the left.
This is how I'd be thinking. If I got it on the right and survived, and then next week we go, and we'll say the lady that gave it to me has 100 people in her row, but the other row has only 10, I think it's that comfort of, no, she did it right nostril, and I'll wait right here and just do the right nostril, because mm-hmm. I would be scared that the person on the other lane, they may be the ones that swirl more or go deeper, and I at that point I wouldn't care if they went through my ear or my ass or my eyeball or whatever. It's mm-hmm. No, it's the level of comfortability that this lady, that I survived with her, so we're gonna stick to the pattern, and I don't care if I have to wait in a longer line.
The ear and the ass would suck too.
Yeah, can you imagine if they had to do both?
Jesus.
I think you want to go ear first there.
You just pick up the classifieds at that point, pick a new career.
All right. So now let's unpack some of these stories. All right. We'll jump around here a little bit. Habib. Here's some good news, folks. Habib says, Well, here's the title. He opens the door for a July return, and then he vows to smash them all. But it's pretty funny because you know how Habib is very, very creative and funny, even though he's English is not his first language. He just figures out how to write things that we can all sit around and laugh at and quote. This is what he tweeted. I can fight anytime. Ramadan finish May 23 May. July, I'm going to be ready. Stop talking about me. This is Corona time. When Khabib time come, I smash them all of them.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So here's why it's great news. Ramadan has already begun. It began in late April, and it's going to be done, he said, 23rd May. May 23rd. That's how they say it in Europe. They give the number first. But remember we've always said, well, it's probably going to take his body some time to decompress because from sun up to sundown, you know, you can't consume water or food, and so how's that on the body and blah, blah, blah. And Manny kept saying September. Others would even put it past. I just kept saying September because he fought Poirier in September, and I was thinking, well, hopefully in August, because I know in August they've gone to L.A. or Orange County before. But that was, I guess, when we lived in the world of arenas full of fans. However, he says July. That's pretty cool to hear that the winner of this fight could possibly fight Khabib in July if the winner of this fight gets out of there healthy. And then what if Khabib could get one more in by the end of the year and then one more in before next Ramadan? That would be a nice run for him, you know, because he's been a champion, but in a crowded division where we fucking unpack, well, what about Hooker? Well, what about Oliveira? Well, what about Felder? Well, what about Conor McGregor? You know, I mean, there's so many possibilities, you know, and COVID-19 didn't help out, that we got to get to some of these fights.
If he can roll off three under these circumstances and with the names that you would imagine would be waiting for him, that's going to do something huge for his legacy, especially if he can stay undefeated like that. Like, can you imagine? Like, think about the possibility of names that he could roll through in three fights. That's going to be a murderer's row there. And for him to do it under these conditions to top it all off, that dude's going to be amazing.
Yeah, when you can do that succession of fights, like what John Jones did. I remember it was December of 2018. They were going to fight in Vegas. They moved the show to L.A. You remember that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
He fought that one. It was Gustafson. Then he came back and fought Anthony Smith in Vegas. Then he came back and fought Maheta Santos in Vegas. And so that was like three fights in 7 months. And it was a good catch-up for him. It was money in his pocket. He's taken so many of those breaks, either due to suspensions or out of the king's other troubles. Stuff. Yeah. That I'm sure that was good, you know, again, for him financially. Good for the UFC. Good for the division. Because if he doesn't fight Maheta Santos, we're all sitting around going, well, what are you fighting a guy that's coming up from middleweight? Even though that guy had been doing well. But still, we weren't sure if he was Jones's caliber. That was a great fight. And then eventually we got to Reyes, and we were like, that was a great fight. Then we see Blachowicz knock somebody out. Who was it? Corey Anderson. And then we go, wow, that would be a great fight. Now all of a sudden we're excited mm-hmm. about that division again.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So Khabib, he's already got the opponents. There's no doubt how good they are. It's just a matter of getting to them. You know what I mean? So great news there from him. And how about Justin Gaethje? He says he reveals an unusual plan for his UFC 249 fight. He wants to have his nose broken and then win the title. So that goes against what I was saying, that whoever wins this fight, if they're healthy, they might be ready for Khabib in July. The story behind all this is he says that for the last 12 years he's had trouble breathing. And now that I think about it, guys, when we've talked to him, doesn't he sound nasally?
He does, yeah. But I think he's actually getting worse.
Really?
Yeah, from the first time I've ever talked to him to what he sounds like now, I think he sounds way different.
Exactly. So if he needs that, it reminds me of Covington. He needed something done with his sinuses as well. But I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't want him to have his nose broke. If he wins, he wins. He beat a great man, you know, in Ferguson. And if he loses, he lost to a great man in Ferguson. But I don't want these injuries. Now, if he loses and has his nose broken, then I guess take your time, get that fixed, and then come back.
Do you remember, I want to say it was Phil Baroni that might have had his nose broke, but they did that thing where they shoved the gauze in your nose.
Oh, God.
And it was like a clown pulling out handkerchiefs, dude. Like the doctor, I think he put it on whatever social media was back then, maybe MySpace or something. But when they were pulling it out, it would not stop. And I remember it got to a point where I went, wow, that's a lot of gauze. And that was only halfway. They were still pulling it out. And he had this look like it hurt really bad, dude.
I think I vaguely remember it. I'll have to look it up. Let me write that down. How long ago was it?
This had to have been at least 8 years ago.
Baroni and Gauze. All right. Gauze is one of the names Gauze has been called before.
Yeah, I've been Gauze a lot.
Probably about a dozen of them, right?
Gauze is probably the most common. Yeah, Gauze or Gauze.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we see how that's playing out. Let's go to another division. Stipe Miocic. Here's another reason I'm happy. And another, some of you might think, man, you're corny, dude. No, I'm not, because I'm telling you, these athletes sometimes are their own worst enemies. And sometimes, what do we always say, guys, when it comes to press releases? Do it yourself, if you can, by being genuine and keep it short. You know, I apologize for, but you know what? If it wasn't for that, and all of a sudden, they just stick their foot right back in their mouth. And if you can't do it, then have a PR statement and have them keep it short. Say the right things, hit the right buttons. You know what I mean? And boom, be done. So Stipe Miocic, you know, he heard from DC, signed the contract. He heard from Dana White. Hey, look, we might have to look at other things. Almost hinting either an interim or maybe even stripping him. So he comes back and says, I want to fight DC. It's going to happen, period. I'm going to give my fans what they want to see. My management has been working on dates with the UFC. Right now I'm doing what Governor DeWine is advising, and I'm working as a first responder. I can't control a global pandemic. So far, so good, right?
So far, so good.
He touched on everything, and there's nothing you can say there to him at any point. Then he says, my head coach can't open his gym by law right now. I don't hold myself higher than any other person in regards to what I'm allowed to do. Ohio is under orders until May 29th. The second the gym can open, we begin camp. Plain and simple. I have never ducked anyone.
Again. Love it. We're great. We're on a great path right now.
Right. I think the only thing you could say is, boy, it seems like everyone else is sneaking into their gyms and doing stuff. But he's a public figure, and he's calling it along the letters of the law. And he's
a first responder.
He's a first responder. So. He's talking about the governor and contributing. You know what I mean? And so it's almost like now if you're Dana White, you're probably reading that going, damn it. You know what I mean? If I really had plans on stripping him or maybe intimidating him in some way, that ain't going to work. He laid it out perfectly. Fighters, think about that the next time you need to apologize or reword a tweet or something. If you don't want to ever risk what you got to say. And remember, he's got a lucrative contract with Modelo. What do you think they pay him? Maybe $10,000 a month? $50,000 a month? I don't know. But if he comes out and says stupid shit, that's what he puts at risk. And while he's not fighting, that's solid income. It can't be less than $10,000 a month. Modelo, that's a well-known beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have a conspiracy theory, though.
Oh, boy.
I think that the UFC secretly is okay with him taking his time right now. And I believe the reason behind that is because if you're going to have a trilogy fight, which could be one of the biggest heavyweight moments in the UFC's history, right? Two really pretty good fights, the first two, and two guys that'll probably be Hall of Famers. Do you really want to have it in front of no fans? Go back in the record books when you go back and look at that big pivotal third fight.
They don't want to have it.
Do you want to have footage of two guys in a warehouse or wherever this is going
to
be?
But they didn't want to have Justin and Ferguson in front of no fans. And I think,
but they have to.
I think Dana White has put on, he's got two hats. The regular UFC promoter hat where he dreams of stadiums. Oh my God, we're building a Legion Stadium here in our home turf. We don't have to travel anywhere. Or back in the day, Cowboys or whatever. But then I think he's got a 2020 COVID-19 hat, and when he puts it on, he just knows the hell with the dreams, the hell with what I want, the hell with the greatest scenarios ever of even Jones and Izzy, the return of GSP, McGregor. I think he has that hat on, which is focused on just this. And once COVID-19 either subsides, goes away, or there's a vaccine or whatever, I think he'll put that one down, put the other one down, and then all of a sudden he'll dream big again.
I think what he does is he fields a call from Daniel Cormier, and Daniel says, you believe this guy? When am I going to fight him? What the hell's going on over there? And I think he goes, you're right, Daniel. This guy's nuts, man. I'm going to get on him right now. You wait and see. Then he hangs up the phone, and then Stipe says, hey, man, these are all the reasons why I can't do it. And he says, yeah, I understand. You know, I'm sure we're going to work this out, because in Corona time, a day is a week. A week is a month. You know, everything moves so quickly. So I think Dana probably has a good feeling from the president, who he speaks to all the time, apparently, of when things will be coming back to a different normal. And that means possibly fans in a certain way. Mm-hmm. I know MGM has plans of maybe doing shows again, but instead of separating people in a smaller venue, just getting a bigger venue, but having the same amount of people, just more spread out. I think maybe the UFC could do things like that. So I think he has an understanding if we can just wait a month or 2 months, we might be in that window where now we know when maybe we can do something with fans. So
I think the NFL is going to dictate a lot.
Yeah. So I think when he fields that call, I think he goes, okay, maybe just a little bit more time and we're okay. Now, Francis Ngannou getting a knockout win puts a lot of pressure on that because mm-hmm. you can't just have him sitting around either. So it's going to be interesting after the Saturday.
And plus, then you got other champs going, hey, you sure seem to be lax on this division. You know, how come I'm not getting that type of break or whatever? So we'll see. I think the NBA, the NHL, I think that'll have a little impact on them. I was even thinking, and I can tell right away we're going to go past 7 because there's just so much to discuss here. Allegiant Stadium. Don't quote me on what they seat. I'm just going to pick a round number. 75,000. What if they told you we're going to have a stadium show, but we only want to sell 25,000? You're all just going to be spread out a little bit.
That's okay.
Would you do it? They conceal the roof, and I think it's better than the Apex, but I still think it would, like, would you do that?
I think just hearing the roar of the crowd, mm-hmm. even though it's a little bit more spread out and all that. Like, are you saying would I go to it
as a fan? Either go to it, or would you want Dana to promote it? Does it make sense? Should I shut up and go on to the next topic?
No, because, I mean, it's something that's been thrown out with other sports. So you're just taking a smaller crowd, putting it in a bigger venue, but that gives you a bigger crowd than what you're normal.
Picture
used to. So
picture a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Or an NBA stadium. Not just goes everybody. When you're sitting there, there's someone to your right and to your left, except if you're on the aisles, right? Would you be comfortable with an empty seat and then the next person's a fan? Or do you need two seats and then the next person's a fan? And then in front of you, would you like that row to be empty or that row and the next row? Because I think the 6-foot rule calls for me two empty seats and then a fan. But I think I could live with me an empty seat and a fan. Mm-hmm. So, and then in front of me, I think I could live with just one row in front of me and then another fan. Actually, it's up to him because it's my droplets, I guess, that could infect him. So, or am I better off with two rows in between? I mean, I'd have to be one hell of a sneezer or spitter or talker, you know, suffering thakataz or something where I'm just projecting.
Right.
But what do you think would make you and the government, you know, who sanctions these events, allow that to happen?
I think the middle ground. If they wanted to bring fans back. Middle ground is probably three seats. Mm.
3 seats in between?
Well, because now they're saying that 6 feet is silly, that it was actually 13 what it should be. You know, when they do the dummies and they have them sneeze, mm-hmm. they see how far it actually goes.
And how many rows in between? Two then?
Yeah, I think football, that would be,
you're
like
yelling
the middle
a
ground.
Little bit.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And then the other option would be we can go one seat in between or run one row in between, but we're all wearing masks. I'd rather take off the mask and act regular, but have, I guess, the 3 seats or whatever it takes.
Oh, I think I'd wear the mask the whole time.
Would you?
Yeah, you have to, I think. I mean, unless you're eating popcorn or something like that.
I wouldn't go to the game at that point. I don't know.
You wouldn't go?
No.
Brand new stadium? You wouldn't want to be the first guy?
In a fucking mask?
But it's the first time you ever get to see it.
It's uncomfortable, and I think I'd just wait a year and go, all right, well, I wasn't one of the first, but now I can treat it as normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The times we've gone to Walmart or Albertsons and we've worn the mask, like, not that I feel silly. I'm pissed off that we're in this pickle.
Mm-hmm.
And then walking around, then it gets uncomfortable. I get a little sweaty. And
well, I've had jobs where I've had to wear it every day. Mm-hmm. So it probably, maybe I just got used to it.
Hmm. All right. Let's get back to MMA. Anderson Silva plans to fight out a UFC contract after successful knee surgery. He fought last May. What took him so long to get this done? I know COVID-19 blocks out April, March, February. I'll even give him January. But from May to December, had he thought about retiring? Or I'm just wondering. It doesn't even seem like it was the most serious knee injury out there. He's having some stem cells, or he actually already had it done. But it was that kick that he took from Jared Cannonier, remember? Mm-hmm. At the event that they had out there in Brazil. It was last May, and he posted that he says, quote, "I finished my knee surgery. I will recover now. I'm fine and wanted to thank everyone for the support, my fans that cheer for me. I'll be 100% soon. I'll do my two fights in the UFC." He's 45, by the way. I'm just wondering what took so long, dude. Like, why these long layoffs between some of these fighters, dude?
He always does things his way, and his way never really ever makes much sense. But he's one of the greatest of all time, and I think he gets away with it. And he's towards the end of his career anyway, so I think the UFC just goes, "All right, man, just tell us when you're ready."
I suppose, but he ain't getting any younger. The camps are a lot easier when you're 37 instead of 45, or 32 instead of 37. And like, I just don't understand. I don't understand why Nate Diaz took 3 years off. I mean, who knows? A lot of these guys really could have been world champions that came up just short of being world champions. Moving on. Fabrício Werdum revealed his camp and what he did. It was unique UFC 249 preparations, according to our headline here. Online classes and altitude training. I was like, what the hell? Online classes? Did he try to learn a new language? He does do some broadcasting for the UFC. Did he want to polish up that awful Spanish? I can say that because I have awful Portuguese, but I claim to know Portuguese. Well, I don't like his Spanish too much, but somebody gets the job done. Anyway, the former champ, his online instructions were basically Cordero talking to him the same way Longo was talking to some of his guys.
Somebody else really just told us that too, didn't they?
Yeah, is it really an online? It's just a FaceTime, right? Hey, coach, am I doing this technique right? Or is the coach just making sure he's actually doing the workout maybe? I don't know. And then he said a few of the guys like Babalu Sobral, longtime training partner, his coach Rafael Cordero and others were coming up to Big Bear back and forth. But I think the key that I got was he is trying to make up for the 2 years of rust by making sure the altitude training dials in his cardio.
Yeah, come on, man. That's something that Fabrício Werdum is. He has really shown that he's willing to go that extra mile. And I like that. I really like that when somebody's coming back to know they didn't just do what they weren't happy doing what they normally do to prepare for a fight. They actually went an extra mile. And that's what Fabrício has done in a few fights.
Yeah. But I guess, the theme of today is I'm happy, I'm positive, and I'm proud of a lot of these athletes and what they're doing. They're not just going in there, I guess, basking in the great things that they've done, because this sport can pass you up so quickly. And he's lost some key fights. He needs to win. You know, he lost 2 years now, and he's now in his early 40s. He needs to win against Alexei Oleinik. If you can't beat him, who knows? Maybe they may not re-sign you, man. I don't know. Or I'm not saying he's up against. Well, you can always get cut for sure. Off of a loss, but I don't know where he stands as far as his contract situation. What could possibly be so funny?
Nobody could see this, but you, because of the way you were positioned, you actually did the Bob's Big Boy thing, because you had your arm here, and then you had this arm like that, and you're wearing a white shirt, so you were Bob's Big Boy for just a brief second, and it made me laugh.
All right. Dominic Cruz. He says, regaining title at UFC 249 equals up to anything that's ever been done in sports. Is that true, Goz?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I've seen Deion Sanders play in a football game and a World Series game in the same day.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I've seen George Foreman come back from my at least 10-year layoff and win a world title.
Yeah.
And in his 40s. I think it was late 40s, early 50s, well, for sure. And Randy Couture kind of did something similar, like layoff, come in, win the title. He says, again, equals up to anything that's ever been done. I think it equals up to certain things, but I've seen some pretty great things. I remember the great Sidney Crosby. Was it him? There was a Pittsburgh Penguin player.
Oh, he went.
Lemieux? Lemieux had Hodgkin's, right? Disease or something. He was out 4 years and then came back and he was still almost one of the greatest hockey players, like, you know.
Somebody the other day.
I've seen some pretty amazing shit, man.
We talked about who is the Anderson Silva of MMA. I don't even remember where we did it, but we did it. It might have been on our Patreon show. And one of our subscribers asked, who's the Bo Jackson of MMA? I thought that was an interesting question. That might be one we'd have to dive into one day.
So a two-sport star. Henry Cejudo? Well,
two-sport star, but he also described it as somebody that did well in both sports, but didn't really achieve like a championship or anything.
So then Henry Cejudo is almost too good of a comparison.
Right. So it almost had to be like a guy.
Almost like Ronda had she not won the world title because she was a bronze medalist, so she didn't win a gold. And she had she not won the title, you could say, wow, but she was one of the top fighters. But
I was thinking more like Overeem, right? And K1.
Bo Jackson didn't win the title with the Raiders?
I don't think so.
I'm going to have to look that up.
I don't know. Anyway.
All right. So I guess I don't hate him for saying that, but when he said in sports, I was like, ooh, that's a really, really broad statement there. Maybe just combat sports, but again, I got that whole George Foreman thing. I remember that one for sure. Yeah, when you throw in boxing, yeesh, you know. I don't know. But I'm rooting for him to perform well. I took Henry Cejudo. May the best man win. But I'm rooting for him to do well, not get hurt. Should he win, maybe he turns it around and defends quickly. And Cejudo, same thing. Cejudo hasn't fought in about a year. I like to see the same thing from him. Cejudo, by the way, is still pushing the whole Jose Baldo and Waldo. Mm-hmm. He's willing to marry Jose Aldo. And creatively, the editorial team threw me off. They posted a picture of Henry and I guess his significant other on a boat. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, he's bending the knee to propose. But no, he's basically saying, so touche to those guys. He's basically saying, I'm willing to marry Jose Aldo to get him immigration status into the U.S. so I can beat him up. Pretty funny.
I mean, he said it. I think when he arrived, he posted pictures that the King of Cringe is back. Mm-hmm. He sure is, man. Because that one was pretty cringeworthy.
Tony Ferguson says the following goes, those guys are a bunch of expletives. And he's talking about basically media and fans and maybe even other fighters who criticized his weight cut 3 weeks ago. Remember, there was no April 18th event in Lemoore, California at Taji Palace. It got canceled. He didn't have to travel to it or anything. But he decided to make weight at home. Two-part question. What do you think of that? The other part is, what's the expletive you think he used? Assholes?
Pussies,
yeah.
Probably. Look, dude, I mean, there are so many reasons as to why he could have done it. I really doubt there was nothing else to do was one of them. You know, there's nothing else to do. Doesn't mean I'm going to go bull riding or something like that. Like, I'm not going to do things that could possibly hurt me. I think he just did it because he hasn't fought in so long. He's getting older and he just wanted to make sure his body could go through it. It's probably a good peace of mind. That's why I think he did it. But that whole, if you're not a fighter, you don't understand thing always gets on my nerves.
Well, other fighters really also criticized it.
Yeah, other fighters criticized it. And I just always, when somebody brings that up, I always look at like, well, okay, does that mean when you're watching the news and they talk about the president, something you can't criticize the president because you've never been a president of the United States? I mean, I don't know that you necessarily have to walk in those shoes 100% to just know when some things are right and when some things are wrong.
I agree. He did say this, though. I'm going to keep it real with you just because, no, that's not what I wanted to say.
Is that what he's saying or what you're saying?
That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to keep it real with you just because they've never wrestled. They've never been in the sport. They have their opinions. That's when he's talking to him, I think, about the media and the fans. No, he said, it wasn't easy. He goes, I'll be real with you. He goes, it wasn't easy. It was actually pretty difficult. I didn't have my nutritionist or anybody with me. I wish he almost would have left it at that. When I start hearing about nutritionists, because again, what if something had gone wrong? You know what I mean? But I like that he at least admitted, man, it was difficult. Almost like a little second guess, but yet still not backing down from the fact that he did it. He's got to do it again, folks, in about 24 hours. And God forbid the body just shuts down. I mean, it was only 3 weeks ago, guys.
At least not Khabib.
And he's lean. Have you seen Tony? I mean, he's super, super lean. So hopefully he didn't go back up and weight too much and have to do it all over again. But I don't know, man. I've hung around, not best friends with Dolce, but enough to know about just how savage and brutal these cuts are. And he's now, what, 36? Going on 37, I think Ferguson is. He just didn't need to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything that could get in Khabib or Justin's head. Those guys are savages too, in their own way. So, whatever. Here's some good news. There's more good news. Jussie Formiga meets Alex Perez at UFC 250 on June 6th. So June 6th sounds like it'll be either an Apex show, or, well, no, that might be a Fight Island show.
Yeah, they said early June is when.
Yeah, Dana White gave an update on that, and
international guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what I was getting at is this is flyweights, so the flyweights still have a pulse. They're mm-hmm. in a coma right now. They're in a coma. The division's in a coma. We're hoping they run back Benavidez versus Figueiredo, but the fact that they're doing this fight means that maybe they've been moving their fingers or their toes, and then they're going to come out of the coma soon. I love the flyweight division. It's not my favorite. It's probably like third or fourth, but I do not want it to go away. I think it's definitely worth it. The guys really turned it up in the last 3 to 5 years. There was a run where Demetrius was so amazing and so much better than everyone else that I understand why people just couldn't get that excited. It wasn't a deep division, so it's not like you had, well, the number 2 and the number 8 guy, or the number 6 and the number 7 had a barn burner. There wasn't enough fights to really keep your interest, and the champion was just smashing. But it's gotten a lot better. The fights have. There's some contenders, and it needs to stay. And on June 6th, Jussie Formiga will meet Alex Perez. Well, we're closing in here on the end of the show. I do want to talk a little bit about what we did this week. We spoke to Ryan Bader, and luckily Goz asked him a question regarding what Chet Congo had said. Called him a big coward, Goz. And, you know, he talked to Danny Segura and started talking about that no contest, the mm-hmm. eye poke. So it was a good article there on Chet Congo and him wanting to run it back. And soon I think you'll see a recap on Bader's response to Chet Congo. He kind of broke it down just watching it, you know, over and over with, he says,
it was interesting what he said back. Yeah,
exactly. He still wants to be a double champ. He wants to defend both titles. I told him, enough. Just stick to heavyweight.
Enough.
That seems to be like the more exciting division. He's already beaten Davis twice. And I know there's Nemkov, I believe his name is, and a few others. But I don't know, man. If they still got Mir, and they still got Fedor, and they still got Mitrione, and I don't know what Barnett's status is, but Batali, I mean, I don't know.
Marks.
Yeah, whoever they may have over there, it just sounds like there's more matchups there to have, and no weight cuts at this. I mean, he's also mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does he need to prove, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? But check that out for sure. On Saturday, Goz and I will be hosting a watch-along, UFC 249 watch-along on Sportscaster. We're going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Remember, this pay-per-view is going to be done a little bit different. I mean, I don't know that there'll be these long walkouts with turning off the lights and these. The Brasilia show happened really, really quick. Boom, two fighters in, two fighters out. Two fighters in, two fighters out. It went at a quick pace. And with this card being so deep, I want to make sure that we actually capture some of these great fights. So we're going to probably do about 7 fights starting at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Sportscaster spelled SportsCaster. There's no E in caster. And whether you get the event or not, you can hang out with us. We have a chat room. And I think right now we got to make the call soon if we're going to do maybe a possible giveaway, Goz. Just like last week. Any final thoughts on UFC 249? Have you enjoyed the embeddeds? Pretty cool to see Justin Gaethje actually take his dog for a walk. Did you see that?
Yeah, on his back.
On his back. It was hilarious. Funny. That dog like was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
No, there's some real good stuff there behind the scenes. Embedded 1 was really great. The UFC did a great job of showing everybody what how they're going above and beyond to keep the fighter safe.
They need to do more of that as much as they possibly can.
And Embedded 2 still keeps an eye on the fighters as they get ready to travel. Remember, they run like a day or two behind. So Cruz was going for a run in San Diego. Gagey was going for a hike in Colorado. And yeah, I mean, we're getting a lot closer. So keep it locked on MMA Junkie. More content for sure to come. We have John Morgan there reporting, and we have most of the team locked and loaded for all the coverage that we're going to send your way, including the weigh-ins tomorrow and the actual fights on Saturday. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And that's about it. We're going to bounce on out of here. Enjoy your rest of the week, your weekend. Stay safe, stay sane, stay indoors if you have to. And always be a champion.